From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. Coming up, we hear about how some Midwestern communities are grappling with lack of access to healthy food. That story from Aaron Bonderson in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Abortion is still legal in Illinois, but state representatives in the Illinois Freedom Caucus rallied on Monday against plans to open an abortion clinic in Danville. Adam Niemerg represents the 102nd district in southern Vermilion County. He says there's a push to bring clinics to areas of the state where abortion rights opponents are very vocal.
We don't need more abortions in Illinois, and we certainly don't need this clinic.
Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. has yet to confirm who the out-of-state provider is, other than saying the organization does perform abortions. There are no details on when the Danville clinic will open. Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy continues to advocate for changes at TikTok, despite pushback from fans of the social media app. The Northwest Suburban Democrat co-sponsored a bill that could ban the platform in the U.S. or force a sale to an American company. TikTok is a subsidiary of China's ByteDance Corporation. Krishnamoorthy spoke Sunday on ABC's This Week show. He says he worries Chinese law requires TikTok to turn over user data when asked.
It's different in kind from any other social media app because its parent company is beholden to the Chinese Communist Party.
TikTok CEO spent Thursday defending the company on Capitol Hill. He told a House committee that the company has never turned user data over to the Chinese government and would not if asked. Many don't know that the first enslaved person who Abraham Lincoln freed was right here in Illinois. Nance Leggins Costley was born into indentured servitude before Illinois became a state. Kiffany Duggar is a graduate student in history at Jackson State University. She says indentured servitude was just a legal loophole for slavery. Leggins Costley filed suit for her freedom and lost many times. Duggar tells the 21st show she knows that many students may not know Illinois practiced a form of slavery, but that isn't their fault.
It's not the kids that's the problem. It's the adults, the administration, the lawmakers that feel like this history is embarrassing, but it's history. You can deny history, but you cannot change history.
Leggins Costley's resting place in Peoria is now paved over. The Illinois House of Representatives passed a series of measures aimed to increase gender inclusion in the state. Cameron Cutinello reports.
One of the proposals would add gender-neutral language to a law requiring insurance companies offer pap smear and prostate exam coverage. Democratic Representative Kelly Cassidy is the bill sponsor. She says the proposal removing male and female references would make coverage for the services available for everyone.
It ensures that nobody is excluded from access to preventative care.
The bill would go into effect January 1, 2025. Another measure by Democratic Representative Lakeisha Collins would change references to boys and girls in Illinois statutes to gender-neutral language such as children. The proposals will now head to the Illinois Senate. I'm Cameron Cutinello.
Still to come, almost half of the counties in the U.S. without grocery stores are in the Midwest. That story from Aaron Bonderson is coming up next on 217 Today.
The April 4th election is right around the corner. I'm Illinois Public Media Education Reporter Emily Hayes. Before you vote, check out the Election 2023 section of IllinoisNewsroom.org. You can read profiles and stories about local mayoral and school board races. That's at IllinoisNewsroom.org, powered by Illinois Public Media.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. Buying healthy food close to home is a challenge for many people in rural areas. According to the most recent data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, 76 U.S. counties are without a single grocery store, including two in southern Illinois. Nearly half of those counties are in the Midwest. Aaron Bonderson reports for Harvest Public Media on how some communities are grappling with food access.
Highway 9 runs through the town of Emerson and doubles as Main Street. For years, this town of 800 had no grocery store. That's until Post 60 Market moved into the old American Legion building on Main Street last August. Manager Brian Horak wants new customers to find what they need.
And if they're brand new, I say, if you don't see anything you like, if you usually buy, let me know. I'll get it in here. And I'll bring it in. We'll see how it moves. Usually, if somebody wants it, one person wants it, there's probably 10 others that want it. So it usually sells.
The market is a co-op. The Emerson community invested nearly $160,000 in the store last spring. It's open to everyone, including those on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, while investors also get benefits like discounts and dividends. But in many towns, a local grocery store is a thing of the past. Rural communities have been losing population for decades, making it harder for businesses to stay afloat.
So as small towns get smaller, that means fewer sales coming in the door for a grocery store.
That's Ryle Carver, who studies food access for the Rural Grocery Initiative at Kansas State University. She says big box stores and grocery consolidation have added even more pressure. But Carver says there are innovative approaches helping to keep stores in small towns.
We've seen success with communities kind of becoming engaged through cooperatives, through public-private partnerships. We've even seen nonprofits and school-run grocery stores.
For example, in tiny Cody, Nebraska, the public school district runs Circle C Market, a grocery store where students get school credit for their work. About 8 students manage the store each semester, says teacher and store manager Liz Ravenscroft.
I teach them how to do the different orders, so like pop order, chip order. I also have students that I teach how to do billing.
The grocery store got started in 2008 with the help of several national organizations and a grant from the USDA. Today, the village of Cody, population 167, owns the building. The school district and a local nonprofit help finance it. Meeting the needs of an individual community is critical for keeping a grocery store open. When Laura and Don Palmer first started Prairie Market in Paulina, Iowa, 8 years ago, they struggled. That's until they adjusted their hours, staying open nights and weekends for their customers who often have long work commutes.
That's probably been the biggest thing, is they appreciate the hours that they can actually get here, and on Sundays. You know, they're like, what did we do before you were open on Sundays, you know?
Palmer says focusing on fresh food helps them stand out from nearby discount stores. They also want to appeal to current tastes. Palmer painted the store's facade teal as a nod to a well-known chain.
My favorite store was Trader Joe's, and that's kind of what we have tried to replicate this after. You know, people come in the store, especially young people, they want to come in and they want it to be vibrant and clean and organized.
Back in Emerson at the Post 60 Market, manager Brian Horak says two things allow rural grocers to provide service to their communities.
Friendliness and cleanliness, that's the two key things. I mean, you get the Walmarts and Hy-Vees and stuff like that, but they're not going to know you by name. We're going to know you by name, and we're going to know what you want.
Horak says his goal is to get people to step into the store once. After that, he says they'll keep coming back. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Aaron Bonderson.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains, including WILL. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be mostly cloudy today, with a high of 50 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Farah Anderson, May Antar, Katie O'Connell, Cameron Cutinello, and Aaron Bonderson. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.